The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to HCH. I'm Andy, your host. Today I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend and long-time collaborator, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes. Hi, Andy. Good to be with you. And these are exciting times indeed. In fact, more than a little scary with all the troops lined up against the Russian border with the American troops. But we will forge ahead, hoping that our efforts have a positive effect in some quarters and that help people see really what's going on behind the scenes in this onslaught of psychological warfare techniques being used against our countries, economic warfare, hybrid warfare, to change our civilization, our species even. And more information is coming out now all the time. So our series of 55 interviews already over the past 4 years is I think, a real contribution to those who are trying to find out what's really going on. And so let's forge ahead with what insights we can provide, knowing that our Fourth Estate, the mainstream media, has been so corrupted and co-opted as to be next to useless, only propaganda. So we do our best as citizens, taking responsibility for our own kind of public policies and analyzing them to help our fellow citizens make the best choices.
Yeah, indeed we do. And it's interesting. We've been having folks a great conversation for half an hour before we started recording the show. Just to let you all know, folks, of course, you'll be hearing this on Friday, but we're recording on Wednesday. And Eric addressed the situation with America and Russia over there at the Ukraine. We don't know. I mean, it looks like it's getting really hot really fast, so we don't know if it's going to be a different world by the time you're listening to this on Friday. So if it is, and things have started to kick off, which we hope that they don't, then we're not talking about them because we are recording them on Wednesday, this show. But it's a topic-based show. Eric's done a lot of work for it, as always. So where would you like to start off? What have you got that you'd like to start us off with today, Eric?
Well, it's so fascinating. I taught geography, physical geography, at three universities for 30 years and then retired in 2011 and have maintained five websites, including 911nwo.com, which proves that 9/11 was, you know, state-sponsored terrorism, inside job with Israel, part of a larger plan. The global war on terrorism, et cetera, that we can trace back to 1978 and the Benjamin Netanyahu's conference in Tel Aviv on international terrorism. And of course, that is a huge website available free to everybody. My naturalclimatechange.org website really focuses on the work that I did in, as a professional, as a professor and as a researcher in physical geography, disproving the man-caused global warming fraud, or now it's called climate change. And of course, this is coming out of the UN, And then another one is San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, which shows that guys like Marie Strong out of the UN came to the San Luis Valley in Southern Colorado to, you know, make billions of dollars off our groundwater. And this is the guy who was touted as being the savior of the planet, Mr. Environment, Captain Planet. So in other words, he's a robber baron. So what we find when we start looking beneath the surface is we find that there's a complete something else is going on. You know, there's the cover stories always, and then there's the reality. And then my other two websites are gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. I've been targeted since 2013 for these activities, I suspect, because they want to take out the potential opponents of the New World Order, call us terrorists or potential terrorist threats. And then my last one is ericcarlstrom.com, which is my music website. And on this website, my most recent project is called the Lifeline Project, or Lifeline Essential Insights and Inspiring Music, or something like that, for illegally targeted citizens, which we all are now, using these psychological warfare techniques, along with directed energy weapons, along with neuro weapons. We are in the mind control state. And I trace a lot of this back through the MK Ultra, et cetera. So, you know, this is online and it's available for sale for $40, about 5 hours worth of material, which includes my music, peaceful kind of music with insights. And it's ironic to me, Andy, that if people wanted to understand what's happening right now, they could, you know, they could spring for $40 and learn. But it's not getting a lot of traction. But I'm not really surprised, because our power structure is so complete in terms of censorship and, you know, cyber warfare is a dimension of this. But where I'd like to start, now that I've introduced myself, is that I think it's pretty much possible now to combine, to synthesize our understandings from the Bible, from Scripture, with history and with what's happening right now, with documents, with the writings of the people that are moving in this beast system at an astonishing pace. And I think what we see is that the COVID-19 is a bioweapon, made, you know, in Fort Detrick, Maryland, which moved over to Chapel Hill, South Carolina in 2015 or something like that, moved over to Wuhan in 2017 or more recently, and then souped up and then released. And it one third of the people who've taken the vaccine are coming down with mental problems, so it could be a neuroweapon as well as a bioweapon. And that this is part of actually a depopulation program, but that the vaccine itself, which has mRNA and nanotech and all kinds of aborted fetal tissue and, you know, heavy metals, is actually the really bad news and a much more potentially deadly system. But they're rolling it out now. And what we see from a recent series of interviews that Alex Jones has done with Jay Dyer, who's been reading, you know, the writings of the scientific elite, the ruling elite, show that this is very much part of a long-term strategy. In fact, for humans to take over the evolutionary process, to cause mutations deliberately. Alex Jones would say they're looking for the Lazarus gene, and they're looking for immortality for themselves, and they're just putting the rest of us in a great big scientific experiment to find out who survives and what happens. And I think that there's very little doubt that this is what's happening, because their writings, going back to Lord Bertrand Russell, and his top protege was Dr. Norbert Wiener at MIT, you know, who invented the autocorrelator, which is this system by which EEGs, electroencephalograms, electroencephalographs can be read remotely by computers. So along many channels, and this has morphed into Elon Musk's Neuralink. Neuralink is supposed to go live this year, and he's also the guy with SpaceX putting up 40,000 low Earth orbit satellites, which then can communicate with these systems. And then meanwhile, you've got Elon Musk saying, well, gosh, I think we're just going to have to merge with AI, guys. And then you have this cast of characters, which, let's face it, they're just almost all Jewish. You know, Bill Gates, the eugenicist, now without a university degree, he's now bought up the medical industry and he stands to make a fortune on the vaccines and he's telling us what we have to do. Klaus Schwab, also Jewish, I believe, founder and CEO of the World Economic Forum, who says we will have a new technocratic covenant in his book about the fourth industrial revolution, a new technocratic covenant. Well, that would be, you know, be almost biblical, right? You have the old covenant, then you have the new covenant, which Jesus brought in. Love God and love your fellow man. Not that hard, but apparently we found it very difficult. At least the rulers of the earth have not liked it. And now they're bringing in a new technocratic covenant. And apparently they want to replace humans. They want to find immortality for themselves. We mentioned this before, technologically. They want digital immortality, etc. And then the rest of us are to be turned into cybernetic biorobot slaves and or just eliminated. So Klaus Schwab very much envisions a post-human robot world. Elon Musk, I said, another Jewish billionaire, says we humans have to be chipped and then merged with AI. George Soros, the Eastern European Jew who funded BLM and Antifa and has destabilized countless countries, works, of course, with the CIA. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, deplatformed countless people who might be a threat to this new technocratic order or covenant, which is being pushed, of course, by big tech out of Silicon Valley and, again, is principally Jewish. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, also deplatforming countless potential opponents, depersoning them, in fact. Eric Schmidt, the founder of Google, now head of binational security state between U.S. and Israel. So many now say Israel runs the United States, and I certainly don't disagree. Ray Kurzweil, the futurist head of the science department at Google, who's been working since the 60s to usher in the singularity, the point where computers and robots are more powerful and will take over. Then, of course, all this supported by the mega group of Jewish billionaires who met in 2010 address the problems of overpopulation. In other words, how can we depopulate the world? Throw in Angela Merkel, Boris Johnson, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and a host of Jewish world leaders, and you start to see that there is a plan in place, and there are people or a group that are actively pursuing this plan and executing it. And of course, we could go on and on about that, and we know that. So we can now, I think, we can integrate the scientific worldview, because a lot of this is coming out of scientism or Luciferian scientism, and also bring in the Bible. You know, John 8:44. Of course, Christ condemns the Pharisees, who are the equivalent of the modern Orthodox Jews. Saying ye are of your father the devil, and his lusts ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies. And then in Matthew, and then Revelations, he talks 2:9, 3:9, he talks about the synagogue of Satan. So really, you know, in a way, this is all about Satan and Satan's rebellion, Satan's attempt to take over the world because he was thrown out of heaven. And Satan has a people. He has human agents. And they have a plan to take full control of God's creation and replace God's creation with a different form of creation, replace carbon-based life with silicon-based life, synthetic life. And all of this is outlined in their books, as Jay Dyer most eloquently outlined in this series of interviews, actually just two, with Alex Jones. So the point for this group is they want to be gods. And they have a Hebrew word, tikkun olam, which means to reinvent the world. And, our friend Tex Mars talked a lot about this. This has been the plan. You reimagine the world. Well, that's what our smart cities are. That's what the Internet of Things and the AI and the 5G are all working towards, to have complete control, to cement in a, you know, kind of ultra fascist feudalistic state in the medium short term, in which the very few control the very many technocratically. So we're dealing with this interesting situation, interesting and very dangerous, where there is this group that seems to have already developed somehow a hive mind, where they connect with each other and they act as a collective. And we can see that historically, and we can see that in their writings. And we know, those of us who've lived for a while, that know that the members of this hive mind kind of want to pull you into it, right? They want you to be one of them. They're proselytizing for Satan. They want to take your soul, basically. I think they have sold theirs, and they want to kill you and take your soul. So they want to send you to hell. You know, nice guys, and yet they rule, you know. And so in this group apparently wants to extend Satan's hive mind to all of humankind now technologically, and complete Satan's overthrow of God. A couple of scriptures that might and quotes that might support this. Matthew 23:33. This is Jesus, of course, talking to the Pharisees, who are Jews, who are the equivalent of the Orthodox Jews today. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. That means a race of serpents, a race of snakes. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, you know, I've reconsidered this quote, Andy, just over the last month or so, and it seems like Satan and his minions took this as a challenge. How can we escape the damnation of hell? Well, we'll just destroy God's creation and recreate it in our image. And that is exactly, I think, what Klaus Schwab's Fourth Industrial Revolution is all about. All of this synthetic life, these hybrid human robotoid things that they are now cooking up, you know, again, fulfilling a vision that goes way back, you know, probably to Solomon, certainly to Satan in the garden, you know, you shall live as gods, you shall never die. That's what was his original temptation to Eve. But then we see it in their own quotes. Here's a quote from Sam Vankin, who was a Jew, in a book called Egomania. We are a superior subspecies. We transcend humanity. We are nature's supermen. There's no chutzpah there. There's no ego there. We deserve the subservience and availability of everyone around us. Luckily, every year, 10 million people are born throughout the world. We have 10 million new choices every year. Well, think about that. What that suggests is that for quite a while, this particular group has been more or less the managers of the planet Earth, if this can be taken at face value. And I think in many ways, there's a lot of truth to it. So in other words, they have been farming us, you know, to see what works, which kind of society works. Well, we'll try national socialism over here in Germany. We'll try communism in Russia, and we'll try kind of a more benign socialism in the United States. Well, this is exactly what happened post-World War II when we had, you know, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin meet at Yalta to divide up the world. Three Jews, as it turns out. And we'll do these experiments, you know, and we'll see what we like, and we'll just push whatever we like. And of course, in their own statements, we find so many confessions of their intentions. Baruch Levy wrote a letter to Karl Marx, printed in La Revue de Paris in 1928, said the Jewish people as a whole will become its own Messiah. Okay, it will attain world domination by the dissolution of other races, by the abolition of frontiers, the annihilation of monarchies, and by the establishment of a world republic in which Jews will everywhere exercise the privilege of citizenship. In this new world order, the children of Israel will furnish all the leaders without encountering opposition. Perhaps that would explain the TI program. We'll target any opposition and take them out. The governments of the different peoples forming the world republic will fall without difficulty into the hands of the Jews. It will then be possible for the Jewish rulers to abolish private property and everywhere to make use of the resources of the state. That's a little bit like Klaus Schwab saying, you will own nothing and you will be happy. But of course, we will own everything. Thus will the promise of the Talmud, the Jewish Babylonian Talmud, be fulfilled, in which it is said that when the Messiah time has come, the Jews will have all the property of the whole world in their hands. So this group has been working hard to realize, as a collective, to realize this goal. And, you know, I think perhaps the notion of dual citizenship is even, dual loyalty is a bit of a misnomer or an oxymoron, because I don't think they have really a loyalty other than to Israel and the Jews. So the American Jews then would be automatically part of this world Jewry hive mind, if you will, which has brought us to this point. And that as Sionim or helpers, those secret agents, you know, they would be available then to be used in whatever Mossad or Israeli Defense Force operations that are being done behind the scenes. So I'm starting to see that we can now put together, as I do in my own life, the study of science and the basic truths of the Bible, and realize that they have commandeered science and are using it for their purposes. Now, in that process, of course, I, as a physical geography professor, went into it thinking, "Oh, great! You know, I'm gonna find, explore the truth with a bunch of people that want to, you know, find the truth, and this will be very exciting." And it was exciting, you know, and it's almost addictive, you know, to go out and, you know, have a problem and then wrestle with it, and then put in your 2 cents into a larger endeavor, scientific endeavor with scientists all around the world. And mine was basically on climate change. And then what I saw as I was finishing my PhD in 81 and then teaching after that at Northern Arizona University is that certain scientists with certain ideas were being promoted and other scientists with other ideas were being suppressed. And my research led me to the conclusion that, oh, well, for most of the Earth's history, the climate has been considerably warmer than present, and it wasn't due to people burning fossil fuels. So I quickly found myself struggling, and actually, I think, was targeted even back then and taken out of my academic position at Northern Arizona University and in kind of a CIA sting. We could talk about that sometime in the future. But they want to get the people out with the wrong ideas, you see. We have to now push for this global government, and we have to push for total energy control. So therefore, we have to have a scientific narrative. So this is all in my naturalclimatechange.org or naturalclimatechange.com website, how science is corrupted and co-opted. And we see the same thing now with the COVID nonsense, which, of course, is fraudulent. And again, the good scientists are being taken out, some killed and some, discredited, some are. But many are standing up now, you know, including this guy Yeadon, who was vice president of Pfizer and their science, head of their science department. He's saying this is horrible, what's happening with the COVID-19 vaccine, and it could be wiping out huge segments of society. Don't take it. But those people, of course, pay for their honesty. But this is the human condition. You know, we have now, I think, good versus evil in very stark contrast, truth versus lies in very stark contrast. And the liars are in control. And I guess, well, Satan is the ruler of the world, you know. But he has his human agents, and we can identify them. They're all very exposed right now. And, it's debatable, okay, you know, what's our best weapon? What's our best defense? What's our best countermeasure to all this barrage of propaganda and lies and very, very, very dangerous misuse of science to the disadvantage of certainly Christian civilization, which we have inherited? And so these are big questions, but at least now we can see, how they've done it, what they're up to, of course, I would have been in this arena all my career, you know, this battle between, not only from the point of view of my particular discipline, but also even at the department level, you know, the political wars that go on and, you know, who wins the political battles and who's manipulating things from behind the scenes. I've seen all that. And I know kind of have a pretty good idea of who really is in control of our universities, you know, from the top on down. And of course, it's the same groups. But they tell us who they are and what they do, and then they put it in our face, you know, like Protocol 13 basically says from the Protocols of Zion that, hey, we've stage managed history for the last 500 years, dummies, and you don't even know it, you know. Well, this SPARS document is so fascinating because this one of the listeners of Alex Jones came up with that, and it's one of these documents in a line of documents that, of course, led us to COVID-19, and this includes the lockstep document from the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010, which laid out the scenario of what would happen, and then 2017 really just it's like a war plan. It's fictionalized as if it's, in fact, it's called SPARS Pandemic Document 2025 to 2028. Well, actually, it just changed the numbers to 2020 to 2023, changed the name SPARS to SARS, SARS-CoV-2. And you have pretty much a complete scenario or script for what the ruling elite will do. So this is a perfect example of Protocol 13. You dummies, we've been stage managing history for 500 years and you don't even know it. Well, here's the direct evidence. Okay, now you've got the lockstep document of 2010, you've got the SPARS document of 2017, then you have Crimson Contagion, Cladex, and Event 201 of 2019, and then in 2020 you have the rollout of this thing. And all of this was completely scripted by their people. And unfortunately, our military and intelligence agencies are all on board. I mean, they're doing it. They're just executing the orders that they get from above. And of course, if we look at the hierarchy, we see, you know, the intelligence agencies pretty much run the nations, but they're doing so for the international bankers, you know, who are, you know, really in control. And they're all ganged up with the corporatocracy. So we have this corporatocracy now, this fascist world control of corporations and banks. And of course, they want to move us to a post-currency situation, a digital currency situation, where the currency will be hooked up directly to our bodies, using again the nanotech that forms self-assembling chips in our body, so they can track and trace us. And again, these ideas go back, thanks to Jay Dyer, these go back a long ways, you know, to the ideas of people like Lord Bertrand Russell 100 years ago, and to Arthur Koestler and H.G. Wells and Fritjof Capra, and, you know, just a whole, he's done in-depth study of over 50 of these people that lay out the same plan for how do we get from here to a post-human world? How do we replace man? How do we take charge of the evolutionary process so that, you know, man, they have this absolute disdain, contempt for humans. And we have no intrinsic value in their minds. And of course, this would go back to Wilhelm Wundt, the father of modern psychology in Germany. Back in the 1800s, he looked at humans as, you know, basically in the mechanistic view, the mechanical view, is just, you know, 47 cents worth of chemicals and electromagnetic energy and whatnot, and we can tinker with it, we can make it what we want. So we have this kind of philosophical attitude that we are gods already, and we can now use humans as clay to fulfill our goals. Well, this is exactly has been played out in our lifetimes, Andy, all our lifetimes. Some of us have never woken up to it. Some of us will never wake up to it. Some of us wake up different times in our lives. I didn't wake up until about 20, 25 years ago, and I'm 71. So most of my life, I wouldn't have understood these things. I would have been watching them, but I would have not had the ability to understand them. Simply because of all the propaganda. So I guess I'll pause there. Andy, if you'd like to jump in, and then maybe if we have some more time, I'll dig into some of the early writings of our the people who've been writing the script for our world for quite a while.
Thank you, Eric, and that's very interesting. I mean, so much that you've gone through there, I've been noting it down for our show post. Very interesting material, as always. But it's interesting always to hear when particular people woke up, and you said 20, 25 years ago, so that put you in like your mid-40s, something like that. I guess I woke up, that would have been probably late 90s, I was probably in my late 20s at the time. And yeah, it's interesting because people come into this thing at all different levels. And the problem that a lot of people have is their own vanity. And for example, I knew a couple of guys who used to go down the pub from work, you know, and they were quite funny because they'd get a couple of pints and they'd have 1.5 pints, but because a half pint was a little bit more, wasn't exactly half the price of a pint, they'd buy a third pint and they'd pour it into 2 glasses to save about 10 cents or something like that of beer. But one thing they used to do, I'd tell them, because I was waking up at that point in my late 20s to what's going on in the world, and you could see that they realised that what was going on in the world was not exactly what we were being told, but they weren't ready to go off in any sort of conspiratorial, you know, direction. So I might talk about what, you know, really gone on at 9/11, stuff like that, when I knew these guys, when I was more in my mid-30s. But they would get together and they would do the crossword in the newspaper and they would generally finish it and they'd work on it together. And I'm terrible at things like that. I wouldn't be able to do it. So they could do that, but I couldn't do that. So these were intelligent people, but because they were older, they just couldn't dive into what I was into with regard to what's really going on, because it would have meant that they'd have to admit that most of their life they were living a lie, unbeknownst to themselves. There are a lot of people, they can't do that. They just don't want to do that. It's going to give them a sense of almost the fear of failure. You know, why didn't I know this when I was younger? And I'd rather not know it now than feel that I've been being duped all my life. Do you think that that's a factor that you've noticed in people? I mean, you deal with TIs all the time, Eric. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Well, absolutely. And we see it in academics readily. I mean, the revolution in the earth sciences that came along with the, you know, kind of the proving of the theory of continental drift by the discoveries in the field of plate tectonics meant that professors in geology who were, say, you know, who had their whole career before this plate tectonics idea came along, that, you know, they were wrong, you know, and of course they could never buy into this new theory because it meant that everything they did prior was wrong, you know, or largely wrong. I mean, they're making valid observations, but they're not making the right conclusions. And yes, we have that vanity for sure. And in a sense, then the advantages to the young men to see if they have their marbles, if they're paying attention, the advantages to the young to see things more clearly. But unfortunately, of course, we have we have the system in which the propaganda system and now the medical system. This tyranny is supposed to be brought in through the medical system. As and this was outlined 100 years ago with Bertrand Russell. Let me just read what Jones says. They're talking about the SARS document of 2017 being a script for what's happening now, and he's saying, "Yeah, this is just this is the main thing, and this is a manual so they can understand what they are doing for their operatives during real time. It is a real time document, and they are testing the mass death, the adverse effects, Hank Aaron dying, all towards this bigger event. And they feel very proud of what they're doing because they believe incredible mutations are going to come out of this. And they have a revolution for mRNA, that stands for messenger ribonucleic acid, which is a fragment in your genetics, your genetic code, which is a gene therapy, synthetic experimental gene therapy, which will rewrite the genetic code of humans and make us non-human, therefore not eligible for heaven, for mRNA, calling it vaccines with liability protections, of course, for themselves. So now they are globally legalizing testing on us and forcing us to do it. So this is the nightmare scenario. This is their big move right now. I was thinking this was just a beta test. I believe it is clear they've gone fully operational. And then Dyer says, Jay Dyer, exactly 100 years ago, Lord Bertrand Russell talks about that when they actually roll this out, when they start to manipulate mRNA and they have the mutations, it's going to really mess things up, but it will be for the greater good in the long run. On page 150 to 151 of his book, Scientific Outlook, the whole page is about the designer babies. The idea of CRISPR, you know, editing DNA, which is now a reality, thanks to Dr. George Church and others in our top universities. And even before this, he wrote, so all along we have this recurring idea that we humans are just plastic, malleable things without a nature of our own. We are just basically Gumby, silly, putty people, so the elite can then mold us into whatever they want. They refer to us as Frankenstein. Okay, now here's the Gollum idea that comes from the Jews, right? And the whole book of Frankenstein by the lady that wrote it was really talking about the Jewish idea of making man, creating a monster, a Gollum, which he could then use to destroy his enemies, which is all non-Jews, of course. And he goes on, we are like a Frankenstein lab creature that can then be molded into Frankenstein monsters. They say they can even create these monsters with genetic deformities, monstrosities, etc. Russell says this is okay because we'll have to do all this to see what works and doesn't work in order to ultimately find that philosopher's stone of immortality. The idea is that nature holds the secrets of immortality. And if we can commit enough death, sacrifice enough of humanity to the science gods, then we'll find this key. These are cool guys, aren't they? Yeah. He states that this eugenics will lead to mass death, but will also lead to the technocratic future utopia. That's for the Jews, of course. In the impact of science and society, he actually says, maybe we need another Black Death, which, of course, hurt back in the 1400s, wiped out a third or even more of Europe. European population. This is the Malthusian idea, of course, Thomas Malthus, the Anglican preacher in the late 1800s, that we need more viruses to kill off more people. And this, of course, is the idea that Prince Philip expressed, and I think he got famous for that, that, hey, if I get reincarnated, let me come back as a virus to kill off 80% of the world's population. Well, you know, the thing is, Andy, that I used to teach human ecology for 22 years, and that really was started up all over the United States anyway about 1990. It took off when, and all of a sudden universities made lots of these courses. And I thought it was great because I was, you know, an environmentalist. I love outdoors and hiking and climbing and whatnot. And human ecology that would then explore the relationship between humans and nature. And it fits in with perfectly with geography. But what I realized after a little while was that this is much of it is propaganda, because I was using biology textbooks that were going through a litany of horrible, almost impossible problems, all of which are the fault of humans. So at the end of the semester, we're all totally depressed that humans, we are causing the destruction of the world through our overpopulation and through our use of fossil fuels and through loss of biodiversity and blah, 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 blah. And after 10 years of teaching it from that kind of left-wing biological viewpoint, I actually started reading the critique of the environmental movement from the right-wing side and realized that it was actually correct, that this was hyped up and is almost a psychological operation against our students to make them afraid and to feel guilty. And this, I'm afraid, since about 1990 in American universities, our universities have become places to promote certain ideologies. Now we're going to believe in feminism. Now we're going to believe in multiculturalism and diversity. And if you don't, off with your head, you know. Now we're going to believe in environmentalism. And it doesn't really matter if you learn anything, you know, that you might use to go on and get a career. No, we want you to come out with a certain viewpoint. And I very, very much saw this beginning in 1990 when I moved to California State University, Stanislaus. And in my department, it was very dangerous not to be a feminist. And I wasn't a feminist, but I persevered and got my tenure and stuff. But it was quite a battle. I was an environmentalist for the first 10 years there. And then I saw that this, too, was a ideology that is being exploited. You know, in order to advance this agenda. And so most of my students who have been exposed to this ideology for all of their unfortunate school years would come in, many of them, with the notion, oh, there's too many people. It's axiomatic. We got to kill off a lot of people. Yes, yes. You know, in order to save the earth. Well, I was a physical geographer. I knew the Earth's, you know, pretty old and pretty sturdy, and it has gone through many, many extinction phases in the past. And, you know, that the science that we're teaching is highly selected to promote this ideology. And we're leaving out the rest of the science, which tells you what's really going on. So then I struggled with that. And I started the last 12 years. I taught that course. I taught it from the right wing point of view, which is actually correct, that, you know, no, there's no climate emergency. No, there is no overpopulation, because the Earth could easily carry a much larger number of humans without damaging environmental systems. But you know, again, the United Nations, which very much comes out of Jewry and Masonry, where, you know, out of the World War I and World War II and the League of Nations, et cetera. All of this is to have the global government, which allow this group, this satanic group, to take over the world. So all of this has come together with this scientism, which is unfortunately the co-option and corruption of science. And now I'm in a position to have lived this very, very, very much so. I am one of those who was repressed and even targeted. And the point of targeting is to get you to kill yourself. I mean, they don't want you around. They want to deconstruct you, decompose you, wipe you off the face of the earth with psychological warfare, electromagnetic weapons, neurowarfare. And as it turns out, now I know from personal experience and research that the targeting program is also used to test the weapons that they're now going to roll out on everybody with these vaccines, et cetera, to test these technologies. So it's really quite obvious that our leaders are very much like a psychopath. They are psychopaths. They don't regard us as humans. It's like, you know, our government and us have a relationship like a abusive parent. It's like they keep abusing us and we keep, you know, paying them. You know, we keep supporting them. You know, why should we, you know, why should we pay people to kill us and torture us? I have to ask that question. Something's got to give here. If our governments are doing this to us, it is a sacrifice. These are human sacrifices. A targeted individual is a human sacrifice. It's a blood sacrifice in the Masonic sense. But anyway, so I'll stop there for your comment, Andy. I know we can't get into all the details in any 1 hour session, but I'm going to give you a couple of the transcribed versions of these interviews that you can post with this show notes, and we can see then how their vision is that we're going to have smart dust everywhere that's going to work with the Internet of Things and the 5G and the 6G and the AI to give us this technocratic new covenant in which everybody will be tracked and traced. There will be no possibility for independent thought. And we will have nanotech in our bodies thanks to the vaccine. We'll have nano blood. We'll have robots doing 3D printing of other robots. We really don't need humans anymore. And all of this will be sold as being very cool. So they're tricking us. They're banking on our stupidity. They're banking on us, on our ignorance. And in fact, I think the reality is they're very afraid of us. They're very afraid of our free will. They're very afraid of our strength. And so they have all these mechanisms to take us out. And as a TI, I've studied these mechanisms. And go to my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website. I've got over 1,600 posts. I mean, I live this stuff. They do it. I live a life of lies, spies, setups, and psyops, and occasional, they're tracking and tracing me. They know where I am every second and have for a long time. In fact, right now, the NSA has the capability to do that to everybody in the world with satellites. So why are we paying the NSA? You know, 50,000 people, the best and the brightest, who are, you know, storing every bit of data that they can in this huge facility with millions of square feet and, you know, umpteen supercomputers in Bluffdale, Utah. Why are we paying them to do that? Why are we paying the U.S. military to exert full spectrum dominance over the whole world with 800 military bases and our troops and our intelligence agencies in 160 out of 190 countries? Who said the United States should rule the world. Why is the United States is about to do what Genghis Khan and Hitler and Stalin could never do? We're about to impose on the world. But now, just as that's happening, what's happening? The United States is falling apart. It's being destroyed deliberately by this group, so that they can take over. Now we're not going to have nations anymore. We're just going to have their one world government with the UN as prototype. And all of this is written out in their plans, you know. So it's very unfortunate. I mean, these people, you know, Jonas Salk and Lord Bertrand Russell, and of course, Dr. Norbert Wiener and Fridtjof Capra and all these people that they are dire reviews. They reverse themselves. They're saying they're going to advance this rational, logical world, and yet they lie through their teeth. They'll make a statement, then they'll contradict it in the next sentence. So what we're dealing with is a satanic mindset here. And Tex Mars talked a lot about this, the ways of the serpent, you know, how to hold two different ideas in your mind at the same time and believe both of them. This is the double mind. These are extraordinarily double-minded vipers and hypocrites and, generation of serpents, if you look at it. Is that the people we want to rule the world? Is that the world we want? I would suggest no. Now, the next question is, you know, what do we do about it? Well, we're exposing the truth. We're actually exposing ourselves to some, you know, potential danger. I'm already targeted for telling the truth. But unless we establish the truth and act on it, I don't think our species has a very good future. These guys are determined. They've got all the money. They print the money out of nothing with their, you know, with their fiat currencies. So it's a very demonic system. It's a totally fraudulent system. Everything they do and say is a fraud. We're living in an environment of complete lies. Is that the way you want to live? No, I don't think so. And that, how long can they, you know, put this veil of mind control over and propaganda over the world's people? At what point do we stand up and say, I'm sorry, we're going to stop paying you. You're killing us. You've torn up the social contract. The social contract is you protect us. You don't kill us. But they kill us. You get on the terrorist watch list for saying the wrong things. You're a potential terrorist threat. Well, you're a threat to their system. You're not a threat to humanity. You're a good citizen, like in my case. I'll stop there and let you say something, Andy.
Well, all I was going to throw in quickly is just, you know, we touched earlier on about, you know, the situation between America and Russia. And the headline as of Wednesday afternoon in the UK on the Daily Mail website is Russia's Act of Aggression. And it's all based upon the fact that Russia plans to have some live fire drills in the Black Sea today because some US warships, as you mentioned, are arriving. So I wouldn't say it was Russia's act of aggression. They're just basically showing that we're getting ready if we're attacked. I mean, why do you send vessels over there if you're not planning to attack them? And so you can understand why Russia would feel that way. And it's these NATO forces and the NATO, Ukraine, who are backed by NATO, essentially. They're not part of it, but they're backed by them. They're all on the Russian border. The Russians are just in their border, ready to protect themselves. And this is the usual garbage we get from the mainstream media, because we know who controls the mainstream media, and it's the same group that absolutely hates Jesus Christ. And they've never forgiven Vladimir Putin for turning Russia back into a Christian country. And this is why he's been demonized from the ridiculous accusations that he somehow rigged the American election. And that's rich coming from people who stole it last year. And it just goes on and on. So the Daily Mail and all these other mainstream publications, they're actually useful in the sense that whatever they tell us, we know to bet the other way, that the opposite is probably true. So despite the lies that they give us on an hourly basis, as they put their stories up, many of us now know that that's just the point where we just think the opposite, and that's the news. So it's interesting what's going on, and we'll just have to see how this thing pans out. But the whole situation that we find ourselves in today is that we're ruled by absolute liars and maniacs. I never dreamt in my lifetime that I would be preferring to become under the rule of Russia than the rule of England. But I know if Putin was in charge of this country, he wouldn't allow any of the LGBTQ stuff in schools when children are still finding out who they are, because he says that that's a form of child abuse. He would be more nationalistic towards us as a people, and he would promote Christianity. And basically, our country does the exact opposite. And it's the most anti-Christian nation I can remember in history, the West as a whole now. And we really need someone who's going to take us back to Jesus Christ, because our own governments aren't going to do it. They worship the very opposite. They worship Satan. So let's have a quick look at the clock. We've got a couple of minutes left. Eric, back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I was maybe I graduated from high school in 1967. The war in Vietnam was raging, and the justification for sending ultimately about 500,000 troops 13,000 miles away over to this tiny little country with, rice farmers was that we had to defend Vietnam from internal aggression. So even then, the lie war machine was in full swing. In fact, it was so phenomenal that, my entire generation just about saw through it, you know. And so we had this revolution almost in the 60s, part of which was genuine, part of which was contrived. And we can talk about it in the future with the PSYOP 60s. The same rhetoric, the same lies, and in fact, the same people in control, if we look deep enough. You know, the whole thing was to managed by very rich and powerful and influential Jews from behind the scenes, so that they could keep the war machine going and the military contract. So basically, you take American taxpayers' money and you launder it through the military industrial corporations. And so to do that, you have to have a war, and the wars give you the opportunity to test all these new fun death techniques. And they were, in fact, testing a lot of mind control technologies from MK Ultra during the Vietnam War on our American soldiers. And they were also testing the electronic battlefield. In fact, General Westmoreland in 1969 said the war of the future will be fought on the electronic battlefield. And that's what we're in now. Because with the satellites up there and then the chips in you, the Neuralinks or whatever in you, they absolutely track and trace every human on the planet and even influence their thoughts and give them money if they're behaving and cut off the money. This is the mark of the beast system. And so Christianity, I think right now, is absolutely imperative people to embrace God, ask for protection and guidance. We're right up against, I think, the tribulation and the mark of the beast system being rolled out at breathtaking speed with the COVID passport, with the COVID vaccine. And this is all coming down around us with all the skills, all the technology that this satanically energized group of people has been doing now for generations. And but the good news again is that the information is out there, you know, with people like Jay Dyer and the research he's done with people like us and the research that we've put out. If people want the truth, they can find the truth and then act on that rather than on the mainstream media. But I must say there's another biblical verse that comes into mind here, Andy, and I think it's Thessalonians 2. In which God sends a strong delusion over the people in the end days because he's a little bit mad that people have rejected his son. And so I think many, many of our countrymen and our neighbors are under this strong delusion. That would be the biblical term. I would now call it just mind control and propaganda. But they are under very, very their map of reality. What they see as reality is in fact not real reality, which is what we're trying to do on this show and others, is to tell people what's really going on. Because there's the cover story. If you have a world run by intelligence agencies, you got the cover story carefully crafted to fit the designs of the ruling elite. And then you have, and they have to have this cover story, because what's really going on, you know, the taxpayers would revolt. They wouldn't pay for it. So we need to expose what's really going on so that people opt out of the beast system, turn off their cell phones, don't support the, you know, the financial systems that are now going to shift from hard currency or fiat currency even to digital currency inside your body. You can't support that. You have to somehow figure out how not to be pulled into that system, because it will apparently move us into a post-human world. And at that point, we don't have the connection with God. That is severed. And this group wants to sever that connection. That's the biggest threat to them, is our connection with God. So what I'm saying is, get right with God, get that connection, get his protection, get his love, feel his love, and then go forth as a, you know, Christian soldier, and stand up like the minister in Edmonton has done. Brave man. Of course, they came down on him. But if all ministers had that degree of courage, then they'd really be in trouble.
Thank you so much, Eric. We are out of time. Eric will be back with us again next month. So thank you again for joining us today, Eric. I want to thank all of you for listening. It is, of course, the weekend tomorrow, so I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back with you all on Monday. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day. And bye for now.